This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Into the ocean, let's be daring. The last one in is a rusty herring.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. I have no idea where Steve Megatron is. He's playing with his rubber ducky or something. I don't know. Whatever those weird purple T-Rexes or red dragons do. Today, my guest is none other than a longtime friend, a early adopter to the Geekcast Radio Network over on ToyCast. He is Wendell James, also known as Jaws D. First of all, where the hell did that come from?
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. So the Jaws part is actually my full name. You take the initials, you spell them backwards, and then I added a Z because it was the style at the time, because of Dragon Ball Z and all that. And the D part is actually Deadeye, so just a shortening of Deadeye from Deadeye Duck from Bucky O'Hare. So
very cool.
Lots of nerdy stuff in there.
Some. If you added another Z, you could put Jazz in there.
Yeah, I could. I think that would have been too on the nose. Just too on the nose, you know?
Well, it's not like you could call yourself Scatman.
No, not at all.
Not that you would, because hello, but whatever. It is
it is. There's only two that I know of. There's Scatman Crothers, and then there's the, what was it, the singer. Like, he had a song in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I'm on neither of their levels, so I'm not going to even touch that.
Did you grow up with Transformers, and at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
I think I pretty much did. I was probably 3. So this was like maybe towards the tail end of, I guess, season 3. And like my mom would bring me to like her friend's place, and her friends would have older kids. And I would just see the remnants of what was left of their Transformers. So I'd be playing with those, or like, oh, this is interesting. And I'll try to transform it. I remember going to like daycare at elementary school, and then like they had a Skywarp there, and just the top part, just the shuttle. And they also had a Galvatron, but obviously the cannon, the see-through orange cannon wasn't there anymore. I remember some of my first ones were Micromasters. So definitely the race car patrol. So you had, Speed Handler, Freewheeler, Swindler, and Tailspin. Another one I had was Ironworks. So Ironworks and Overlord was another one I had. And I had Power Master Optimus Prime. And I think the interesting thing was with the Ironworks, the store that I got it from, this is going to take Canadians back, Consumers Distributing, they had a special where you got the Ironworks, and they gave you, and you also got, was it part one and part two of The Return of Optimus Prime on VHS. So that got a lot of wear at my house. I'd be just watching it over and over, and never really understood why Optimus Prime was coming back. And then maybe I was like 4 or 6. No, I was probably 6, and I would go to a video store, and they had Transformers in the movie, and I was like, whoa, what's this? And I rent it, and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy, oh my goodness. And I think I was around the same time as G2 was starting to air, so then I'm watching G2, and I'm like, oh man, Starscream's such a jerk. And then watching Starscream die in the movie, I was like, yes! Yes, finally he gets his comeuppance. So yeah, I think I was around it for like some time and just kind of noticing it, noticing the toys, the McChangeables and stuff like that, even though that's not a part of Transformers, but I was always around it. And I think one of the things that kind of helped was that, you know, you ask your parents for like, hey, can I get this toy? And they're like, oh, it's a 4-pack and they're small and it's a car that turns into a robot. They're going to keep be kept busy. That's good. That's good. Here, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that definitely helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is your Transformers generation and why?
I think for me, Generation 2 is what I remember the most, because I didn't really grow up when G1 was airing on TV. I grew up more around Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, and then G2 was coming around, and G2 was around, and I was like, oh, cool. So these are the toys that are connected to the show. Okay, so like you got like some kind of connection there. So I would say G2, and then probably more so, I remember more vividly, Beast Wars. So I would say those two in that era. Like I would say I'd probably lean more towards Beast Wars, because I remember as I was getting into Beast Wars, that's when I met Proto Man, and we were listening to Radio Free Cybertron a lot, and the whole Truck Not Monkey stuff, and so just all of that. So you know, whenever that era, that's what I vividly remember the most, the Beast Wars, the resurgence, and the oh my goodness, this is connected to G1, you know, just the revelations of that. So you know, I would say G2, Beast Wars, and they kind of overlap and connect, which was pretty cool.
Awesome. very cool. What other generations of Transformers do you like besides Beast Wars and G2?
I think I definitely animated. I really liked a lot. I really dug. And I like that it paid a lot of homage to G1 and to Beast Wars. And, you know, just a really big celebration of all that stuff that happened. And just really a lot of love of what Derek Wyatt did and everything, and just bringing a little bit more American sensibilities to it too, just paying homage to like Orbots and stuff like that with what's his name, he just had a legacy toy recently and he's part of the Wreckers.
Overlord.
Bulkhead. Yeah, there's a lot of Bulkhead, and the fact that characters like Lugnut got a reimagining in the main line, what's his name? Lockdown got a reimagining in the main line, and in the third Transformers movie, getting like an actual prominent villain role, being such a new character and just boom, just jumping straight into the Bayverse. I thought that was pretty cool too. That's like I feel like that's a really good nod and a really good, kind of like, hey, this is what, you know, like, I think that's a really good legacy, you know, to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you like or loathe the Bayverse, or are you just indifferent to it?
I think I lean lightly towards the like for the Bayverse, and that's just because I think we wouldn't be here where we are today, with, you know, all like everything that we have now, because without the Bayverse, without bringing new people into the fold and having more interest in it and stuff like that. I think everyone knows and acknowledges that it's a double-edged sword. But you know, we're not in obscurity. We're not always hurting for new content. We're not always hurting for, oh man, they're not doing it right. And you know, and it's just floundering right now. Like I kind of say like a little bit like, the Thundercats, He-Man a little bit, but He-Man's kind of getting its footing again, which I'm really happy for that fandom and for that crew of people. But you know, it's really, you know, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
well, absolutely, you do. Yeah.
You know, like a lot of friends that I had that I didn't know was into it, they're into it now, and I'm happy. Bring more people in, you know, and that we can get all the cooler stuff. down the line, you know. You know, without the Bayverse, we wouldn't have the new Bumblebee movie and them trying to go in a different direction. We wouldn't have what looks very promising in the new movie that's coming out, Rise of the Beasts. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have Cyberverse. Like, I don't think we would have thought that Cyberverse was really cool in what they were doing. And here we are. We're still like, the newest episode came out and we're like, oh my goodness, yay! Mm-hmm. And we're clawing, chopping at the bits for it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because I think the thing about the newest season or two movies or whatever they're calling, whatever they're doing for season four, mm-hmm. whatever rebirth homage that they are doing as far as it only being two parts or whatever, is that, you know, you get to hear all the, especially Sal, Mark Swint is a god among men because his sound wave is second only to Frank Welker in my right. Vocoded Frank Welker.
Yeah.
Because without the vocoder, it's just Dr. Claw as a tape deck.
Right. I also, for the last question, I want to give a shout out to Transformers Prime. I did enjoy like how they kind of went a different direction with RC. Yep. I do like OG RC. I do like animated RC. I do like how they went in another direction and kind of gave her a deeper connection with her human partner. You know, how she had a partner with Cliff Jumper and he died, and you know, she's still feeling that pain, and kind of made her a little bit more hard boiled. I did enjoy that show for what it was, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we always say like how, you know, Cyberverse and Prime feel a little bit empty because they're CGI shows, but I mean, so did Beast Wars and so did Beast Machines. But I think because everyone was kind of kept in a close proximity, you don't even think about that super hard, even though it's like in it's like prehistoric. Spoilers, it's in prehistoric Earth, but you know I think they still I still enjoyed what they were doing with it, and they were trying to kind of connect it to a bigger universe and have like a continuity thing going on. But I lean more towards the American stuff. I haven't delved super hard into the more Japanese leaning stuff, but yeah. I have them there, and I just need to take the time to watch them.
Right. It's just a personal bias of mine, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry. I am a dumbass, folks. I didn't do foreign language in school. If it isn't spoken in English, I won't watch it. I am not reading my I do not have this giant 55-inch television that my lovely departed wife gave me for Christmas a couple of years ago. I do not have that 55-inch, you know, 4K TV in order to read my television. I want to listen to it. I want to watch it. I want to hear and understand what people are saying. Like, you know.
But the pause button is your friend. And I'm a big fan of anime. And, you know, I've read a bunch of shows. Right. I've seen a bunch of shows with subtitles and stuff like that. But, yeah. I think the positive
I respect the stuff. It's mm-hmm. not that I don't respect it. It's not that I don't think it has its place.
Right, right.
For me personally, though, mm-hmm. I'm not reading my television.
I know for me, the watching stuff on your computer, hitting that space bar to pause it is a godsend.
Yeah.
Just smack and it stops. And you're like, okay, yep. Cool. Let me read what's going on. All right. Smack. And then you keep going.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. What's next? What was your very first Transformers toy as a kid?
So I would say for me, for my it would definitely be the Race Car Patrol MicroMasters. So like I said before, mm-hmm. Speed Handler, Freewheeler, Swindler, Tailspin. The fact that I would look at Swindler and be like, this looks like a DeLorean. And then I'd pretend it was Back to yep. the Future DeLorean and fly him around. I think was Speed Handler the yellow one? Jeez, I forgot off the top of my head.
I am not sure.
Oh my goodness. I think Speed Handler, if I'm remembering right, let me just double check here. Speed Handler.
Don't you just love this, folks? Live research on the All Things Transformers podcast.
Okay. What I was trying to say was Freewheeler, I would pretend that was my hot rod. basically.
Okay.
That's like, you know, like when you're a kid, you don't have all the toys, obviously, and you're past getting Hot Rod and Rodimus. They're not on the shelves anymore. You know, you try to make up with who's who on your team and stuff like that. So I'd always say like Free Willy was like my Hot Rod, but he was like, I think he was a Lamborghini Countach. I want to say his alt mode was. Yeah, definitely looked like a Countach. Yeah. And I just really liked that car and how it looked. And then I think I would also take Swindler, and like RoboCop was a thing too that I used to watch as a kid, even though I shouldn't have been. It was a very violent movie. I would take Swindler and kind of transform him halfway into just like Gearwalker mode and pretend that he was like Ed 209. So I got very, very creative with my toys back in the day. So yeah, that was like my first. The MicroMasters was definitely my first set of stuff that I had. Ironworks and Overlord as well.
Very cool. Very cool. So this is silly, and I don't. You're too young. You're way too young. Okay, so in 2022, folks, I will be the answer to everything. I'll be 42 years old in February of 2022.
I'll be 36 on the 28th of November.
Oh well, happy early birthday then.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, okay. So you're not as young as I thought you were. I thought
you were
28 or something.
Make
me feel like an old cup over here. Broken down cup. You left a piece out. I already asked that. Growing up, did you and your friends ever pretend to play Transformers at, say, school or recess or something? Now, I'm not talking about playing with the toys. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about you saying that, I love this character. This is who I'm going to be. Let's create a story. You know, what the kids call today, LARPing.
I think for the most part, not really, but I think only like I only had one friend in elementary school, and like we were watching G2 together and, you know, sharing our knowledge and stuff. And like, I think a few times, we played Transformers. So, like he would pretend to be one of the Seekers. And I think I was an Autobot or something like that. So I think that was the closest I ever really got to pretending to be Transformers as a kid. But like, otherwise, you know, you had your Ninja Turtles, you had your Power Rangers. I would say very sparingly I got to play pretend to be a Transformer back as a kid.
That is so cool. All right. Who is your end-all, be-all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? You can pick four. One Decepticon, one Autobot, one Maximal, one Predacon.
I would say for Autobots, I would say Jazz.
Any luck, Jazz?
Negative. North side of Cybertron's blacker than the inside of a drive shaft.
To me, he was a character that always hung out and really loved humans. And so I felt realistically, if there was anyone to befriend, he would be the one that would like hang out with you and like, oh, that's interesting. What are you doing over there? Oh, what's this? Like, he was always just fascinated with human culture as a whole. So I would say Jazz for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because I would have loved to have been able to do a Scatman Crothers. That would have been, you know, Megatron, you're going down. You know, but
Decepticon, that's a little bit difficult because I want to say Skywarp, but I don't think he really had much of a personality in the show in G1 side. Mm-hmm. I would probably say Lugnut or Lockdown from Animated, because they count as Decepticons. They count kind of encompassing in
Lockdown
that.
Doesn't really count. He's a bounty hunter.
He has no allegiance. So I'd say probably Lugnut, because I really liked his reinterpretation toy in Reveal the Shield line. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's like the typical I'm with Megatron, you know, like I'm the brute, and I'm here for this particular person. I have an allegiance, and that's my allegiance, not moving from it. So for sure, Lugnut, I think I would have to say.
What a golden opportunity. what fools will pay for their insolence. Remove these stasis cuffs at once.
All in good time. First, we need to discuss compensation. You get freedom, but what do I get? You see where I'm going here?
The honor of serving Megatron should be reward enough.
Megatron? Why didn't you say so? The old warmonger's my number one customer.
For Maximal, it's a toss-up. I would say, for sure, Rat Trap. Definitely Rat Trap. But it's also, like, right behind him is Dinobot. Just right behind him is Dinobot. And it just plays so well off together. And just the fact that Scott McNeil is basically talking to himself is hilarious.
Yeah. I gotta do everything!
What can you possibly do?
Improvise.
For Decepticon...
Predacon.
Predacon. Oh, man. I want to say Pterosaur. I think...
Why?
Because he's just Starscream by another name. And he gets that crazy powered-up mode that I thought they were going to do in the new toy, but they didn't do it. Like the two cannons over his shoulder and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like, they have quite a few good ones. Like, I mean, Megatron's really, really good. He's like, he wins. He basically wins. And he gets that awesome, like, haha, I won. And that awesome monologue before season three starts. And you're like, what? How could you win? No. That's a really great cliffhanger. Rampage is good too. But there's too many. There's too many good ones that just have layers, layers, and it's hard to choose one Predacon. It really, really is hard. Man, okay.
You get a Predacon.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna take out Megatron, because everyone says Megatron, and he's too good. He's too OP. I feel he's too OP. He wins too hard. I had to pick one. I'd say probably Rampage, because he was a genuine threat. No one wanted to be around that guy.
We're wasting our time!
The fact that Megatron managed to, like, make him docile in some way, shape, or form, but he was still a threat. The fact that, like, you just had to get his spark and put it between, like, Energon crystals and squeeze it so he feels pain, like, that's pretty messed up. I'm gonna say Rampage. Rampage is my final answer.
Okay. Besides all of those, what are some other Transformers characters you like?
For sure I like Hound. Hound was pretty cool, pretty chill. Who else did I like? Bulkhead's pretty cool. Again, one of those dudes that's always has an affinity to humans, I thought was always pretty cool and interesting and like feasible of like, oh yeah, this guy would hang out with me. At least I think so. I hope I'm not wasting your time trying to save the world or fight the Decepticons where they're just like, yes, what do you want, Jaws? Jeez, you know. What other characters? Like I said before, Lockdown's pretty cool. Hot Rod was pretty cool. I remember thinking like as a kid watching the G1 movie, like, oh, well, I get to ride in him, and he's just super fast and quick, and he's so cool. You know, like, I think a character I feel like a character that kind of gets crapped on a lot, but is pretty nuanced, is actually Rodimus. I think you appreciate it when you're a little bit older. Like, he's a character that's like, wow, I am following the class act of Optimus Prime. And he never feels worthy. He never feels like he's the guy to have the mantle. You know, he's always lamenting that, you know, Optimus, you were the leader. Like, I'm just following you, and I just never feel like I could live up to who you are and what you are. And I think that's a pretty cool an interesting kind of characterization and thing to think about when you're older. Like, you know, like you have somebody that you look up to and they're not there anymore, and you have to take on that mantle, and you just don't feel like you have the tool set or that you're as good as they are. But I'm pretty sure that in their mind, they feel the exact same way. I think like how that characterization of Optimus in Animated was, where he is a leader, but, you know, because he didn't pass the test, because Sentinel Prime's around, and Ultra Magnus always berates him, he just never felt like he was the leader, but he definitely showed that he can lead, that he could, you know, make sure the team's okay and all right. Same with Optimus Primal too. So I think that's always kind of something I've thought about and appreciated when I got older. Like, oh, I could see a lot of myself in these characters trying to help people, trying to lead them, and, you know, people always questioning them. And, you know, a leader's not somebody that's, you do as I say. Like, you gotta act. You gotta act on it. You gotta show them, like, hey, I'm not delegating this to you because I don't want to do it. I think that you're the best person for this, and I think your skill set really matches what's going on here.
Hey, cop, don't you think we have better things to do now than tell old stories?
Like what?
Like maybe figure out how we're going to rescue our friends and then save Cybertron.
Absolutely. Are there any Transformers characters you hate?
I think when I was a kid, it was for sure Starscream, and I just didn't understand why Megatron would keep a guy that's purposely trying to undermine you in every way, shape, or form on your team. But yep. I think it's just because Megatron just knew what he was and mm-hmm. just knew how he was going to act. It was just like, well, I know this. I know his parameters, so I know where he's going to go with it. So it's just, yeah, sure, he could stick around. and you just knew that he could best Starscream. He knew Starscream couldn't really take him one-on-one. And so he didn't really feel threatened by him.
The Autobots would have lost eons ago if I'd been calling the shots.
Starscream. Only a select few ever leave.
My time will come, Megatron.
Never. Never!
But yeah, I think as a kid, it was definitely Starscream I really, really hated. And then seeing him die was just like, yay! And then him coming back in Beast Wars and being like, oh, you know, I died at the hands of Unicron, and it's like, that didn't happen. You died before he even showed up. What are you talking about? And then Black Arachne being, yeah, he's full of crap. He didn't die that way. He died at Galvan. I was like, oh, wait, they're actually going. G1 exists in this continuity, so that coming all around was really cool. Characters that I hated, like really, really hate. I think there was characters in the animated, in the movie, the Bayverse movie that I dislike, but they're not really the Transformers per se. They're always like the human characters.
Obviously, yes.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm surprised, and I hope one of these episodes that I do will eventually have someone saying, Wheelie's my favorite Autobot. I seriously doubt anyone's going to ever say that, and I will probably faint and whatever, and somebody's going to have to pick me up off the floor if you can. But, you know, like, I think at some point I want to do specifically to G1 Wheelie, to the Wheelie that was in the movie and in season 3, I want to do a deep dive character study on this character, because I want to know why he is so hated.
I think it's just the sing-song rhyming thing, and was really annoying. And like, it's surprisingly even annoying as a kid for a kid. It's like, wow, that's not like, I'm not enjoying this.
Okay, you know? But and no disrespect to the person, I forget off the top of my head who voices Wheelie, and I'm not looking it up. No disrespect to that person who voiced the character. No disrespect to the legendary John Machida Jr., mm-hmm. who is Mr. Micro Machines and who is Blur.
Yeah.
But what's the damn difference of annoyance between Blur talking super fast and not being able to understand him half the time and Wheelie talking in rhymes? I mean, there's not there is a difference. I understand that there is a difference in whatever, but it's not like, well, I don't like, look, I love Blur. Don't get me wrong.
Same here.
I will never not say that I don't love Blur, or I will never say that I dislike Blur. I like Blur. Mm-hmm. Always have, always will. There's nothing about that character that has ever made me dislike him. I find Wheelie annoying, but there are people out there that just downright hate him.
No, I couldn't say I hate Wheelie. And as for Blur, I think because the Micro Machines commercials were still around and popular, you kind of had that connection. So it wasn't so jarring to hear Blur. Oh, Blur. Okay, he's a Blur. When he moves around, he's really fast. He speaks fast. Okay, all that kind of comes in together and you kind of get it. And then Wheelie is just kind of like, feels like an out of nowhere Transformer character. Because, I mean, you have everyone on Autobot City, and then you have the Decepticon, and then Wheelie they just find on a random planet, and he's just been surviving there on his own. It just seems like an out of nowhere kind of thing. But, you know, I wouldn't say I hate Blur. No, I wouldn't say that at all. I would say, if quote unquote hate, I would say the character, like some of the human characters in the Bayverse. But, but even I won't say, like, oh, I hate you, get off the screen. It's just like, this is really weird. This is a little bit grating. And yeah, I know we're supposed to kind of be behind you, but oh, man. You know, like, I think, I kind of feel like Sam Witwicky in those movies is like gradually kind of being like a commentary on maybe some of the toxic fans. Like, oh, no, I need to have a great job just because I saved the world with the Transformers. And it's like, that doesn't translate into work performance, almost getting killed or being accosted by barricade by your eBay name doesn't translate into you being like a good worker. Like, it doesn't work like that. Which is always really weird, you know? So I don't know, like that's how I kind of saw it a little bit. But yeah.
No, absolutely. Yep. Over your lifetime, as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or get weaker?
I think right now it's pretty strong. I think during the, I guess, Armada, Energon, and Cybertron era, it kind of waned a little bit, but the toys definitely kept me in. Like, that was around the same time as the Universe, the Chug series. Oh, geez, I can't remember what the full name of that was. But, yeah, like, there was, like, a lot of really good toys, like, coming out around that time. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, okay, I'll pick up this Prowl, this new version of Prowl that they did that's pretty cool. And, you know, like, all that stuff was really, really cool. So I kind of focused more on the toys than the shows that were coming out around that time. And then kind of came back in again when, like, Animated was around, Prime was around.
Right, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. With the internet giving the birth to the fans and all of us having a voice about what they do or don't like about Transformers, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
I feel like I'm in the middle. I don't really feel like I have a giant voice that needs to be, like, I don't feel like I have, like, super crazy opinions about Transformers, and I don't feel the need to, like, really shout above the wave. I know, like, the fact that I'm being interviewed, I feel like, really? Me? Really me? I'm just a, you know, a guy that loves Transformers, and I'm just in the fandom. I don't feel like I'm this personality that's out there, you know? Like, you know, I do some stuff here and there, but I don't feel like I'm this person, this entity, you know?
And the Origins episodes that I created are essentially for me to talk with friends or with other fans. And it's not necessarily like, if I'm going to do an interview with, say, if I get Dan Gilvezan on here, that's going, like, not to say that this isn't an interview, it is, but that would be labeled as interviews. Dan Gilvezan returns to All Things, you know what I mean? Like, this is just like a new form for me for podcasting because I've been doing review shows and discussing cartoons and arguing about cartoons for almost 14 years now, and I needed something different to do. And I'm like, oh, let me create this format. Let me apply it to every other show that we have on the network.
Right.
And that's essentially what this is. It's not necessarily like I don't see any other guest on that has been on any one of these any less relevant than anybody else. Like everybody is all, everybody is. I'm going to say it. And I know. All podcast episodes matter. Sorry. But you know what I mean? Like, come on. I mean.
But yeah, like to answer your question, I kind of like where I am, and I feel like it's smack dab in the middle. I do like seeing everybody kind of getting a voice and you know, talking and everything, because I remember when we didn't have a voice, and you know, anybody that just had it was you were more so beholden to people that knew how to podcast, had like a really good audio background and like radio and knew how to record onto their computer. I mean, like, it's so easy now, but like back then it's just like, wow. Again, Radio Free Cybertron, that was my first foray into podcasts. And I remember meeting some of those guys at the first TFCon USA in Chicago, and one of them was like, oh, hey, Jaws D. And I was like, oh, senpai noticed me. Like that was a big thrill for me. And meeting more people at TFCon USA in LA, the West Coast one, and just more people just like knowing me, and I'm just like, oh, senpai noticed me again, just people that you listen to like when you really felt like you're getting into the fandom, just knowing who you are. And I'm just humbled. I'm just humbled by it, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And artists and designers likewise, just kind of knowing who you are, and you get to talk to them and, tell them that you really dug what they did in their careers, and learning that, oh, this image that I had for my MSN background was actually by this artist, and oh, it's so cool, like, that you made it, and I saw your art back then, and they're like, oh, I don't like that art, please don't talk about it. No, but it was so cool, I thought it was so good. So yeah, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't see why we can't all get along, even though, you know,
I mean, we're all here for toys.
Or cartoons, or comics.
Cartoons, comics, art, voice acting. Like, I mean, we're all fans in the end. That's one thing I've learned about when I volunteer at TFCon, and you get to talk with the voice acting guests. They're just as big fans of what they do. I remember, what's his name again? Voice of Perceptor.
Paul Eiding
always talks about it all the time, that you know, he got to meet the actor that did Fagin for Oliver Twist, he got to meet him. I think he was acting with him in something. He's like, oh, you know, I really liked you in Oliver. Can you? He's like, okay, my boy. Like, he tells him to close your eyes, and he puts his hands on his shoulders, and he starts singing one of the songs from Oliver Twist is Fagin, and it's just like, wow.
they fanboy
out just as much as we fanboy out to them. So it's a good space to be in. And for a lot of the voice actors, they know that, like, you know, let me spend a little bit of time with some of these people. And you know, it's like, if I got to be someone, I really enjoyed their work, you know, just, you know, it's just a full circle kind of thing, like, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. If I could be the one person, though, to bottle up a certain voice actor's voice, I would definitely have, you know how they always, you know, have you seen the Disney Plus What If series?
No, I haven't.
The animated, okay, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You know about Futurama and all that stuff, and heads in jars. Okay, yeah. So if I could put any voice actor's voice in a jar, even though I always give people a hard time about Optimus being the leader and how Hot Rod / Rodimus is better and blah, 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 blah. I'd put Peter Cullen's voice for Prime and for friggin' Car from Knight Rider. I'd put that in the bottom and keep that forever so I could have everybody hear it, you know, whenever, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Come on. Come on.
I remember when I got to meet Frank Welker, I gave him this nice picture of Megatron. You know, he's signing all these Megatrons. And I was like, to be very honest, I did this very last minute. I would have had a picture of Sheldon. I think that would have resonated. I think that character resonated with me more. And he laughed. He was like, I think he was very happy that people know his other work. And he's always happy to talk about, you know, stuff that's not just Megatron. Because he's had a... Both of them have had an insane career that spanned a lot of different things. And yeah, I remember Garfield and Friends was a big thing when I was growing up and constantly watching that on CBS, a Saturday morning's run, and just enjoying that and just how crazy. And, you know, the fact that Garfield said, I wish someone would drag them out onto the street and get shot on a children's cartoon. Someone should drag him out in the street and shot. And should be dragged on the street and shot. I'm like, what?
that's absolutely crazy. What is your Transformers personal anthem song? Examples, but you're not limited to these, obviously, The Touch, Dare, etc. But what would be your personal Transformers anthem song?
I would say probably the intro for Car Robots. So Robots in Disguise, Japanese intro. It just has this like pulsing, pounding, you got to get up and get going. It just like just the sound
I knew
of the
I
siren
should have had you listen to Daniel's episode before we did this.
Well, so the thing about me and Proto Man, we grew up in the same city. We grew up in the same neighborhood. We were neighbors. So, right. So sometimes we'd go and hang out somewhere and he's like, I come to his place and he'd still be in bed. I'm like, why are you in bed? You told me to come at this time. Why are you still in bed? He's like, don't worry, I'll get up. And he starts playing that song, starts running around his room, putting on his clothes and everything and just being silly him, you know. But no, like I remember we got to watch that in tandem together. You know, we're just like, oh, man, it's so cool. Da, da, da. And just that intro, we always watch the intro because it's just this pounding intro of – second place would definitely be Dare. Dare, when I watch it in the animated movie, it still gives me goosebumps. I don't know why. It just, when I think about it, when I hear the song, it's just, and then when Hot Rod bursts through the barricade, boom, and just goosebumps. Just instantaneous goosebumps. But I would say, the car robots theme. It just gets your blood boiling. It just makes you want to get up and go do stuff. It makes you want to go up and go for a run and just do it.
very cool. We all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you love and why?
I think it's G2. I was super lucky that when I was a kid I was in a day camp. And our counselor, she asked everyone what they wanted as a gift as our last day. And I said, you can get me a Transformers comic. And it just so happens the comic she got me was the last issue of G2. And like the Swarm was there. Was it J-Axis? No. What's his name again? Oh, man. Was it J-Axis? I was in there and Optimus returns and he has this, like this new body and stuff like that. And it kind of leads off into like something bigger than the Swarm is supposed to come back and kill, like come and, you know, this like setup for a new series, but it just never happened. But I think G2, the ending of G2, I think kind of stands out in my mind. I never got a chance to read Dreamwave. I know like a lot of people really love that. And Dreamwave was around when like Alternators was around. So it was like a big return to actual cars and a little bigger sized Transformers and a little bit more complicated transformations, yeah. You know, kind of Transformers kind of growing older with you kind of thing.
Right,
And I would have loved to actually read the Dreamwave stuff. I don't know if, like, Comicology or what was the other one?
It's all Amazon now, but yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, sadly, Comixology.com, sadly, Amazon bought them a few years ago.
Okay.
And Amazon is now completely folding them into Kindle and all this stuff.
Prime and stuff like that.
It's just so, so damn depressing.
Oh, no.
So damn depressing.
But I definitely want to, like, I know I have a Humble Bundle of all, a good chunk of the IDW stuff. So I have to, like, I want to get a good either 2-in-1 laptop or tablet just to read them all. It's like, I don't have to sit on my computer screen and turn it sideways to, like, get the full panel and everything like that. Just have a nice setup to read all that stuff. But I definitely want to get into the IDW stuff.
Yeah, the IDW stuff's great, and if you're going to get into it, I suggest the IDW collections. The IDW collection. I don't know if that's Prowl, Ironhide, or or Blue Streak, or Blast. It wouldn't be Blaster. but the IDW, the Transformers IDW collections, whether you get them digitally or in physical form, because they carry the story in story order. So you don't have to go, like if you want More Than Meets the Eye, Volume 1, but that doesn't have this other issue from this. If you get the collected editions, the IDW, what is it called? Hold on. It's in my wish list right now, even though my Comixology wish list will disappear soon. But anyway, it's because the website's – that's the stupid thing. They won't leave the website up because it's folding into the stupid Amazon thing. Okay. Transformers IDW Collection, Phase 2, Volume 1. So Phase 2, Volume 1 going forward, you know, that basically has them all in story order. And you have Optimus on Volume 1. You have Bumblebee on Volume 2. Mm-hmm. Hot Rod on Volume – you know, so you have all the various characters. And Tarn's on Volume 11. Anyway. But yeah. If you're going to read IDW and really enjoy it, I really suggest the IDW collections because they are organized in story order, so it will play better than having to do – because I've covered all of Phase 2 over on the pull bag over the last X number of years. And, Windblade 1 through 4 here, Windblade this here or that here. Like, nope, it's all in one spot.
All right.
That's good to hear. Yeah, exactly. How big is your Transformers toy collection?
Oh, I'm not sure because I don't have them all displayed. They're usually always in boxes just because I need the space. At some point in the future, I hope to have them all displayed, but maybe I don't. I'm sure. I mean, it's not as big as Protomans. It's not at all.
I was going to say you could probably You could probably, you know, pay him to rent out a wing of his house to you for your collection because
it's intense. It's heavy. I've been there a few times and it's just like, oh no, he's getting into this other 90s toy line. Oh boy. And it's like, oh, here's all of them. Okay, I never got to see all of them. Okay, here we go. I'm like, oh, they made toys for this line? Since when? But I want to say maybe 300, I guess. I think that's a really low estimate, though. I think it might be a little bit more, but around that number. And I'm not, and it's, you know, it's not like everything's huge. You know, it's like I'm thinking about, Micromasters. I'm not a person that's like, I got to collect everything. I just try to collect the things I like. I try to keep it very focused, and I know space is limited, so I'm not going to get, I'm not going to get the giant Metroplex, you know, the newest one that came out. I'm going to get like maybe a classics, like a G1 Metroplex, because, you know, that thing's pretty small and it's not taking up so much space. It's taking up a reasonable amount of space. I have some third party stuff that's third-party combiners, some of the make toy combiners. Yeah. I remember for some time, Primus from Energon was like my quote unquote biggest toy, but you know, he's kind of dwarfed by everything else that's come out after him, you know? So, I think it's, I would say it's a nice, modest collection, but I wouldn't say it's like, oh my goodness, you know, like, woo.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to ever be like that. You know, I don't, I'm for sure not a, a completionist. I'm more of a, I really like this mold and I want to own it, and I'm willing to own it, different variants of it. So, you know, here and there, you know?
Absolutely. Very cool. Very cool. I only ask this question because some people tolerate them. Some people are completely, oh, if it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, then it's not worth having. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about non-transforming Transformers, specifically Funko?
Oh, specifically Funko. okay. I don't, personally, I don't mind Funko. You know, I mean, there was Transformers vinyls in the 2000s, and you know, I have one or two of those, and then I was like, yeah, you know, I don't feel like I really need to get into this section of collecting. Right. Yeah. So I mean, if that's what you're into, if you're into that aesthetic, then yeah, go for it. I don't think it's really my hardcore. I don't think it's my cup of tea personally. I think the only Funko that fascinates the and scares the crap out of me is the Frozen Olaf one. He looks like he is staring into your soul, and he will murder you in your sleep.
Well, apparently some people find the new, I haven't seen any like glam shots of it. I've only seen like at New York Comic Con, hey, this is coming. They're the next, at least one of the next actual Transformers ones they are doing is Trax. And somebody is like, that thing is a monster. It's so ugly. It shouldn't be, because they're basing the retro toys. Current versions of the Transformers Funko Pops are based solely on the toys. They're not based on the animation. I mean, they look animation accurate. Like, okay, so if you went to GameStop or Canada has EB Games, and you got the lunchbox.
Well, now they're GameStop now.
Oh, okay. Well, they
said, okay, nope, we're switching everything, and it's like, good. Oh, okay, well, okay. RIP.
Yeah, there you go. Poor EB Games. I remember when it was Babbage's. Anyway, that's a whole other podcast. But was it last year or whenever it was recently, they had the Transformers G.I. Joe lunchbox thing. And you could either get Optimus or Megatron with Cobra Commander or Duke.
Right.
Or was it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Optimus and Megatron were the Energy Axe and Energy Mace versions from the cartoon. So even though their bodies and their heads are based on the toy sculpt, instead of having their guns, they have the energy weapons from More Than Meets the Eye.
Oh, okay.
So that's always a fun thing. All
right. Like I'm staring at the Jazz right now, and then like the other ones. So like I do dig the fact that like the Megatron, he has like the red beady eyes, and the Optimus Prime and the Bumblebee have the blue beady eyes, and then the Jazz and Sally still have their visors. So I mean, at least they're keeping that aesthetic going. So, but and I also remember, I think a little bit before this, they had the I think Hasbro had its own vinyl pop vinyl kind of thing
because
they do multiple ones, you know.
Yeah because they took over Mighty Mugs.
And they did
the Mighty Mug thing, because I used to have a whole bunch of Mighty Mugs back in the day, I think, and I could be wrong, folks, I don't remember off the top of my head. Mighty Mugs could have always been under Hasbro. I don't remember them being that way, but maybe they were.
I'm gonna back you up. I'm gonna agree with you, and then they'll just yell at us in the comments.
Yeah, of course. Oh, comments? Really? Comments? We get comments around here? I mean, I see nothing but, you know, bumblebee tumbleweeds rolling down the street here. What are you doing? Comments. What is this thing called comments? This is a new concept to me. Like, really? People listen to this shit? Really? So, heaven forbid anything happens, but something happens to the apartment, the house, the whatever. What's the one Transformers toy you could never part with ever? What's the one thing you'd run in to save if the house was on fire?
Ooh. Ooh, boy. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. There's so much good ones. I think I would die in the fire trying to choose one. Oh, this is the one I just was the first TFCon I went to. Oh, no, this is from the first PodCon. No, what about this? Oh, no. And then just the whole thing collapses on me, and that's the end of that. Which one? Maybe I would save my signed Jazz by Ono, by the creator of the creator of the Dioclone for Jazz. So I think it was the last BotCon that happened that was in Kentucky. I think they had a lot of the Hasbro people there, but they also brought in what's his name? Ono. I forgot the name of the guy that did all.
I know who you're talking about because Proto Man talks about him all the time.
Yeah. So he was at. So he was basically the designer of Jazz, of Sunstreaker, et cetera, et cetera. And he was there at the show. So I completely did not bring my, was that the Signature Series Jazz? So remember there was like, maybe in the 2000s, there was this like really nice, there was like, they reissued the G1 toys, but they came like with a booklet. They came with this nice display box and it had a Velcro on it.
Not Legacy, because that's the new thing. What's Universe, not Legends.
But it was like the Japanese one.
Like basically. Commemorative series or something. Yeah. Yeah,
So I had to like hunt that down at BotCon, a good place to find to hunt one down, you know? Yeah. So I found one and I got him to sign that. And it was sadly I didn't bring my own from home. I didn't realize, you know, like it's like my second BotCon. I'm not paying attention to who's going to be there and all that kind of stuff. And it was like the last one, and it was like a big hurrah and everything. So I managed to get a hold of, I think that's the one I would probably grab and save if I had to.
Very cool, very cool. What was the most money you spent on a Transformer toy or a toy item? So toy item could be a convention thing or a signing or whatever.
Could this count as third party as well?
Yeah, yeah, Transform. Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of third party, but I don't care.
Oh, okay. I probably a third party. Hold on a second. Let me look around here. I'm pretty sure I've probably spent $300 on something. I'm trying to remember. I know I bought. Well, this was for a friend of mine, so it wasn't me buying it. But I know I bought. The third party Black Zarek Pandemonium from Make Toys, and that box was as big as me. So I took a picture like, hey, I got your toy for you, and I'm holding it up, and it's like I'm holding up waist high, and it's like going above my head. And then the way I took the picture was so that you didn't even see my body, like my body's basically being hidden by the box. I think that, but like that was just a transaction for a friend of mine, and I got my money back for that. But I'm trying to remember which figure it was. I want to say it could have been one of the combiners, maybe. Or maybe what's his name? Is it Predaking? No, not Predaking. Abominus. There we go. Third party Abominus by Fans Project. That's the one. I think that was probably $300, I think, when it finally came out as a box set.
Very cool. Do you have a my parents got rid of my toys story? So this question really comes from me. At 6 years old in 1986, my dad said I was too old for toys and sold all of my evil warriors from Masters of the Universe.
Oh my goodness. That is terrible. For me, no. My mom, she did not throw out any of my toys. I mean, I think there was one time when she kind of had to. We had a fire at our apartment. Mm-hmm. And so I had, I know I had Dirt Bag from Ninja Turtles and some other characters. And I'm pretty sure they looked terrible. Like they were charred or something. So, or just had a lot of smoke on them. So some of those toys had to like sadly be thrown out, but I don't think I've ever actually saw them or the damage that was done to them. But other than that, I think I've been very lucky. I think one of the toys that I have, that I still have, it's pretty busted, but I still have it, was the Ninja Turtles helicopter. So, and I still have it just because it was one of those toys that I really wanted as a kid. And it was kind of like a placeholder for the Turtles blimp. And my mom got it for me for Christmas, but the way she got it for me was that, oh, no, we can't get it. And I'm like, okay, fine, no problem. And, you know, I accepted it. And Christmas happens, and I open up all my toys, and I'm like, oh, good. That was a pretty good haul. I'm pretty good. And she was like, wait a minute. Hey, what's this behind the trash in the kitchen? You should come here and see this one. And I go, and I'm like, what's this big box doing here? It's like, Santa must have left it for you. And I was like, oh, and I picked it up, and I opened it. It was that Ninja Turtles helicopter. And it was just a nice, magical moment that made me still believe in Santa. And I still have it because it's just a reminder of just, you know, don't take anything for granted. Be happy, you know, never, don't be selfish. Don't ever be selfish. If someone says, hey, I can't get that for you, like, you know what, you know, let it go. It's not meant to be. Maybe later on in life, you might be able to get it. But, that's something that stuck with me. And I still have it to this day, even though a lot of the stuff is missing, the little functionality of it, it has these like little two punching bags, and you press the button in the back to make it go back and forth. That got broken, but I still have it because it's really good memories. Really good memories. Same with my Power Master Optimus Prime. It's seen better days, but I still have it because, you know, that was something my mom got for me, and I really, really enjoyed that toy as a kid. And, you know, again, don't take anything for granted ever.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If you could voice any Transformers character, who would it be and why?
I when I was listening back to the other episode, I kind of took notes, and then something came up. So I would want to voice Rat Trap, and just kind of do my voice and just be like, oh geez, and just kind of feel it in with, like, you know, my isms here and there, because I feel like I could do, like, instead of doing like a kind of New Yorker kind of style, kind of maybe deal with it like in a kind of like kind of hint of Caribbean in there, like, what, you know, just mm-hmm. little dashings of that in there, but still sounding very North American.
Right, yeah.
But something I always wanted to do, TFCon always does what is it? You get to do an episode, a script reading with the voice actors.
Right. And
every year I'm there, Starscream is always, 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 always there. And everyone's doing the screechiest Chris Latta they can do, yelling at the top of their lungs. And I always want somebody to go in the opposite direction. Just like, if I got to do it, I'm on staff, so I can't really do it. Like, I mean, I could do it as a joke, but I won't be able to
yeah.
be part of
yeah.
it. Yeah. I would do Starscream, but super low energy, in the style of Stephen Wright. I don't know if you ever heard of that comedian before.
I think I have, yeah.
The closest I could say his voice is if you've ever seen, what's it called? Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah.
the green gun drop that's with the mayor.
Yep.
That voice, just very low energy. And, you know, if I was the leader of the Decepticons, then I would overthrow Megatron, and he doesn't see my gene. Like, just super low energy after you just heard your eardrums blown out by all the Chris Latta interpretations. You just hear this very calming, like, just over the, like, not over the top, just super low energy. Like, that. I would do that with Starscream. It wouldn't. Like, I think Everyone would hate me for it, but I don't care. I want to hear a Starscream in the opposite direction of just screechy voice.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Who is your favorite Transformers actor or voice actor? They're all actors.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, man, if I had to pick one, I think I would say Scott McNeil, just because he just has so much range, just an insane amount of range with him. Dinobot, Rattrap,
Silverbolt,
Wasminator, just finding out that's all one person. Just the other stuff he does outside, the anime stuff he's done, Dual Maxwell from Gundam Wing, being in Mega Man, it's very deep what he does, and just his Dinobot, his monologue of Dinobot thinking about destroying the discs, and he says that it's a coward's way out, was really cool. I think that was ad-libbed, he said? I can't remember. I want to say it was ad-libbed for him, and then I think about what was it called, that movie again, Blade Runner, and Rutger Hauer doing the I've seen things that people haven't seen, and I'm just a tear in the rain, and like that last scene that he has before he passes, and just apparently that was an on the spot monologue kind of thing, and I thought that was so cool. I would say Scott McNeil for sure, and then definitely a second would be David Kaye, going from Megatron, going to Optimus in animated, and various other characters as well. Like, he just has a good range as well. It's like having Clancy Brown playing Lex Luthor all these years, and then he finally gets to be Superman. But I know, from what I've heard from a few interviews with Clancy Brown, he's like, he's always tried to voice Superman, and he's just like, no, you be Lex. And he's like, I've been doing this for years. And I would like to hear his take on a Superman and what he could bring to the table. I mean, we've heard his Mr. Krabs, the coat, and his Crimson. Oh, what was it? Have you ever seen Venture Brothers?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
His Crimson. Oh, I forgot his character's name, but yeah, like, it just makes you poop your pants when you hear him going. Or he does the Taken monologue, the Taken speech. I have a certain set of skills, and you're like, oh man, I poop my pants too. So good.
Jeez. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, Clancy is definitely top notch. Okay, so this next one cannot be anything that's already released, and it cannot be anything that they already have announced or shown off or anything like that. Boy. What would be your dream masterpiece figure?
I want to see a Masterpiece Jazz. I've been saying this for years. I think there's a prototype. I think they've silhouetted it, and it just hasn't come out yet, and I'm pretty sure it's because they're still hashing out things with Volkswagen Group, with Porsche, with Audi, or whoever owns the rights to that car. I don't think they were going to release it without having that seal of approval, without having, and I feel like they're getting there. Like, we've got the Bumblebee, we've got the Masterpiece Bumblebee. What was that character in the ad, in the Bay movie that got cut down the middle by a sideswipe in the beginning? He was an Audi. That was an Audi R6.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, it's getting there. I feel like it's really surely, like, it's getting there. It's getting there. Just like when they did they had a Jazz alternator toy, and they just couldn't get the rights for the Porsche. But you've seen that prototype out there floating around, and like, it's just getting there, just almost there. To me, that's the one I'm waiting for. I mean, we've had how many Hot Rods and Rodimuses already? I mean, they don't have to pay anything for that, because that's their own design, that's their own in-house design, and you know, it's like you don't have to worry about that, but it's just getting that jazz, getting that Porsche, you know, that Le Mans Porsche, just getting it. I think that's the one for me.
Very cool. Yeah, well, that 40th anniversary is coming up, so I'm sure it's I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Where do you land on the Rumble is blue, Frenzy is red, or Rumble is red, Frenzy is blue debate?
Personally, I don't land on any one. But for me, I would just go with the cartoon.
Exactly. That's my point. Cartoon. Yep.
I'm cartoon. If I had to line on one, I'm cartoon. Sorry.
Yep. Bye. I agree. Rumble is purple, Frenzy is black. If you could create, and I'm sure you probably can't say in case you want to be like your brother from another mother over there, Daniel, and have to give something to Hasbro, but if you could create any Transformers fiction, toy, cartoon, comic, etc., what would it be and what would you want to do with it?
Possibilities are endless. Oh my goodness. What would I want to do? Jeez. I think maybe a series where it's not hyper reliant on G1 characters, in the sense of like I would probably go in a kind of direction where like kind of like the Japanese stuff kind of goes, where the main character isn't always Optimus Prime. It's like a new like character altogether, like a Star Saber or a completely different character. But I know that reality is that you have to use the names.
You have to use the copyright
and you'll lose it. So I don't see that happening. But I mean, if I would see it probably happening, maybe like a small video game or a small comic book, like mini series or something, and just a completely new character, or taking a name from obscurity and then making it into something new, like, you know, just like how Derek did it with Lugnut and Bulkhead and just Lockdown, just doing all these different things with them. I think I would do something like that, I think. But what that story would be, I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know where it would be, but I would want to bring new characters to the forefront, so there's more quote unquote toys to play with when new fiction is done in the main line and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think for me, if I was answering this question again, I would say something to the effect of, I want, and this is just my cruelty here, folks, I want Optimus to just be in the dead universe or somewhere else. The series starts with, because we all know Megatron and Galvatron are the same damn guy.
Right.
I want the series to start with Rodimus and Galvatron as the respective leaders of the Autobots and Decepticons, and then somehow, some way, later down the line, after a rebirth or whatever you want to call it, like, I don't want it to always be Optimus and Megatron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I don't want them there. I'm saying I don't want it to continually always start with them or them and Bumblebee. Don't get me wrong. I know it. Bumblebee's the kid character. I get it. But damn it.
Ooh.
I watched season 3 and I'm like, this would have been so much more awesome if it was them in season 1. Okay. Yeah. Ooh, what? What were you going to say?
I was going to say, new animated series, get Peter Cullen, Frank Welker back. But they are not Optimus and Megatron. They are new, brand new characters. You tap into their talent as voice actors, as actors. They get to do something different. They get to build something completely new and go in that direction with it.
If you're listening, Proto Man, I know you're screaming. I know you're screaming at your top of your lungs right now. That would be cool, though. Yes, that would be very cool.
These guys are veterans. They are veterans. They are Hall of Famers.
Yep.
They've got so much more they can do and have done.
Yep.
You know, the fact that Peter Cullen is the voice of the Predator. He's the person making the gurgling noises.
Yep.
That's him. So, I mean, and then Frank Welker did the roars of the lions for Lion King.
Yep.
You know? So
You know, say what you will about the 2008 Knight Rider reboot.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest stroke of genius is that one season's 12th episode, Knight to King's Pawn, because they brought back Peter Cullen as the voice of Carr. And it is so chilling to hear Optimus Prime say, even though it's not Optimus Prime, it's Carr. It's the evil version of Kit. Say, okay, you give the orders. And then he grabs Yancey Arias's character, Alex, whatever his name was, and basically pulls him into this android body and basically consumes this human, essentially.
What?
And then he says, I'll send you a video of it later.
Okay.
And then he says, yes, and now I give the order. Oh, it's so it's so chilling.
That's so cool.
So messed up. Anyway. Yeah. So many stories, folks. So little time.
Yep.
Last question. What is the one piece of advice that you would give the Transformers fandom and Transformers collectors in general?
We're all here for the toys, man. Stop arguing and bring outside stuff that's not toy related. We're all here to enjoy all this fandom together. You know, everyone's allowed to like what they like. There's no point in being like, no, you're supposed to like it like this. No, you're supposed to like it like that. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, we're all here for the same thing, and we should all enjoy it together and just, you know, just calm the hell down.
Yes.
You know, there's no point in paying your money to get into a con and then to argue about something that's going on at the con when it's like, hey, we told you ahead of time. This is how it's supposed to be because we want to make sure everyone gets to enjoy it right now, you know? And less cron crud, the better, I guess.
There you go. That's true.
Yeah.
Very, very true. All right. Is there anything you would like to promote?
I don't think I have much to promote. Just pretty much Transformer Slag. I try to be on it. I'm a little bit busier now in my day-to-day life, so I don't get to stream with Proto Man as much as I used to before. But yeah, check it out. You can catch me on Jaws D on Twitter, J-A-W-Z period D. And also at, what was it called again? Geektastic Cypher or Free X Agents. I'm sometimes on that podcast as well, but that's, you know, again, busy with stuff, so I don't get to be on it as often as I like.
Yep.
And that's, pretty much it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here at All Things Transformers. I have no idea what's coming up next. I don't know if I'm doing another Origins with somebody or Steve Megatron and I are going to come on and do a news episode. I have no idea because we are not.
Me, Slag, no like anything.
We're not slagging Transformers people. We're not Proto Man. We can't. I swear to God, I don't know where.
He's a machine.
Frag. He gets his energy like. I'll watch one video and then like, here's three more. And I'm like, wait, what? What happened now? Like, oh my God. Like, what in the Sam hell? He is a machine, all right. he's really living up to that you know, riding in style moniker, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio for the network, at allthingstfv3 for the show. I am at TFG1Mike. You can also follow at SCP21. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also search out All Things Transformers over there as well. For now, I am TFG1Mike with...
Justin.
We hope you'll transform and transcend with us next time here on All Things Transformers.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again, after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.